As negotiators draft language on how nations can reduce climate-changing industrial emissions and mitigate global warming, Gerald Nelson says one word that's missing is agriculture. It was absent from the Kyoto Agreement, and the research fellow with the International Food Policy Research Institute, or IFPRI, doesn't want that mistake repeated.
As countries did their national inventories and more information became available, it was clear that, in fact, deforestation was a serious source of carbon dioxide emissions. And then agriculture was also important, carbon dioxide, but also nitrous oxide and methane from livestock and irrigated rice systems in particular.
Along with urbanization and the loss of forests, agriculture contributes more than 30% of the greenhouse gas emissions responsible for global climate change. Nelson says the relative emissions differ dramatically by region.
If we look at the role of the developing countries' contributions, agriculture is 60% of the total, and essentially 100% of the forest and land use change emissions come from the developing countries.
Scientists predict a warmer climate will dramatically intensify the challenges farmers already face, from drought, floods, pest infestations, and disease. Mark Rosegrant, IFPRI's Director of Environment and Production Technology, says that intensification will be most evident in developing countries, where people are already hardest hit by poverty and hunger.
For example, we find that rain-fed maize production is likely to decline by 17% globally, and irrigated rice yields could decline by 20% globally. We are projecting that we will see higher food prices due to climate change, so that not only do we have a lower production, but high prices will affect poor consumers negatively, reducing food security and well-being.
Farmers will have to adapt to the impending climate change regardless of efforts to curb greenhouse gases. But IFPRI's Gerald Nelson says new technology and management practices can both reduce emissions and lessen the risks to small farmers.
How do we do that? Change crop mixes, use cultivation systems that leave residues, shift land use from annual crops to perennial crops or to pasture or to agroforestry.
He suggests that a post-Kyoto agreement could incorporate ideas already being put into practice.
The World Bank and others, and many other institutions actually, have done research over the last 5 to 10 years, and not just research, but actually on-the-ground projects for payments for environmental services. The Carbon Exchange in Chicago has been paying farmers in the United States for sequestering soil carbon.
A vital part of any new agreement, says IFPRI's Mark Rosegrant, is a fund targeted to help agriculture adapt to a changing climate.
To put money available for research to improve our understanding of the interactions between climate change and agriculture, including better understanding of more detailed impacts on agriculture so that we can better target adaptations and look at agriculture in a more integrated fashion.
IFPRI's Gerald Nelson adds that the new climate negotiations will offer an opportunity to both mitigate the effects of global warming and by supporting the world's food producers to help millions of the world's poor win their fight against hunger and poverty. A detailed outline of IFPRI's agenda for negotiation in Copenhagen is posted on the IFPRI.org website. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.